Good morning. On Sunday the 23rd of January 2022, the readings for today are from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31a, the beginning of verse 31, and the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30. And the passage I want to look at and for us to consider is the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 to 30. And, well, I suppose I'll just start reading and we'll go from there. Verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So it's just setting the scene that this is early in Jesus' ministry. Actually, it's the start of his ministry. What came before that was the baptism by John in the River Jordan and the Holy Spirit descending upon him in the form of a dove, then going into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, amongst other things. And he was away for 40 days and 40 nights. And now he's returned, as it says, in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And I think it's good that it says this in Luke 4, because I've been saying in my previous sermons, and indeed I've been saying this a lot, making the distinction between Jesus before his baptism and after his baptism, that Jesus is and was God, but as a boy growing up to be a man, he did know and have the Holy Spirit in him, but he didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, it says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And so there's a distinction being made. He's now different, and he now starts to do miracles. And as I've said, Jesus is a picture for us, because we come to him in faith and we come and believe in him. But in order for us to move on, and I mean when we come to him and receive him as our Saviour and as our Lord, we need to then come into that experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit for ourselves, so that we too can move on in power. And that's actually quite appropriate, because the first reading that I mentioned was 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the passage for today talks about the body and the body of Christ, and there's one body, and so we're in Christ and we're not many bodies, but we're one body and we're all part of the one. But I suggest that you go and read that for yourself. I want to stay focused on Luke chapter 4. So anyway, the scene has been set that Jesus has returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. So continuing on in verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And so Jesus did what he always did. But again, it is pointed out that he came to Nazareth, where he was brought up. And what follows is a reading that Jesus reads, which is from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. And it's a very good and strong scripture, because it's prophesied, I believe, about the Lord Jesus. But the bit that stood out to me in this particular passage was what follows. And so therefore, I don't want to focus on that particular reading. But as it goes on, verse 21, Jesus says, and he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? And so in a sense, the trouble has started, because he's in his own town and they're asking the question, is this not Joseph's son? And the reason why I want us to consider this is because I believe the hardest place for anyone to minister, the hardest place for anyone to be a Christian, to be a believer, to be someone who is endeavouring to follow Jesus Christ, not only in the way that they live, but in what they do. The hardest place to do that is in your hometown. Is in your hometown. And the reason for that is because people know you. And so Jesus goes on and he explains in this gospel in chapter 4 of Luke. So I'll read that again. Verse 22, so all bore witness to him and marvelled at his gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? He said to them, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Then he said, assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. And so let me just stop there again. Jesus is saying that he's not accepted in his country. And he's given us a couple of illustrations of other people, not just himself. So verse 24, then he said, assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. So there's a story in the Old Testament of where the prophet Elijah prophesied that the rain would stop. And it stopped for 3.5 years. And then at the end of the time, he came and he prophesied that it would rain. And on the day that he said it would start raining, it rained. Now, clearly for that length of time, if there was no rain for 3.5 years, there would have been great famine. There would have been great need. There would have been hunger. There would have been torment. There would have been trouble. But Elijah came from that land, and the people would have known Elijah. And because they knew him, they couldn't receive anything from him. And it's not that God is an angry or twisted God, because that is not true. That is not who he is. God is a God of love. But God sent Elijah to the land, to the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow in Zarephath. Were there not widows and women who were in need in Israel? Of course there was. But there would have been a blockage in them because they knew Elijah. And that's the point that Jesus is making. Then he goes on in verse 27 and he says, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian. So he gives two examples. Jesus gives two examples of trouble and turmoil that happened in the past with prophet Elijah and then with the prophet Elisha. But neither the prophet Elijah nor the prophet Elisha was accepted by the people that knew them. And in a similar way, Jesus is using these two pictures to point to himself as he talks to the people in Nazareth. You wouldn't listen to Elijah, you wouldn't listen to Elisha, and you'll certainly not listen to me, is in essence what he is saying. And it continues on and it says this in verse 28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Even though they wanted at that point to kill Jesus because of what he said to them, they were unable to because of who he was and who he is. But the lesson that I want to bring to us all out of this today is what I said earlier. If you're a Christian and you're listening to me, if you've already given your life to Jesus and you believe, I'm not suggesting for a moment that you should get up and leave your home and go to other places. And some of you may well do that. Some of you may well be called to other places. But in remaining at home, it is harder for people to hear what you have to share with them because they know you. They know you before you became a Christian. They know you on how that you talk and how you live amongst the people. They know you. They remember you before you became a Christian. In a similar way that they knew Elijah and they knew Elisha. They knew them as people before they became prophets. And in a very real way, the people knew Jesus as being the carpenter's son, Joseph. Joseph, his father, was a carpenter. And they knew him as the carpenter's son. He was with them. He played with their children. And so because of that, they couldn't accept him. But we know that Jesus had a ministry. And in other Gospels, it tells us that there are only a few people that Jesus could heal in Nazareth. And it says because of their unbelief. So when you consider this story, when you think about what I'm saying, and to be honest, it's what the Bible says. It's not just what I'm saying. It's what I believe God's bringing out for me and through me in this particular passage today. Is consider where you are and be the best that you can be. Not that you're trying to be number one, but be the best child of God that you can be. And focus on who you are in him and who he is in you. But do not be put off when people don't listen to you. Or do not be put off when people perhaps attack you. And it may just be verbally, but they don't receive your message. It's not because you don't have a message. It's because they know you. They're familiar with you. And that familiarity stops them from hearing what you have to say. And so just consider that. And consider that along with what it is and where it is that God wants you to serve him. Listen to his voice. Stay close to him because you really need him. And I know we all really need him. But you really need him. Because you need to hear his voice in the midst of all that's going on around you. Because so often what you may say seems to be falling on deaf ears. And let me go back to the bit that I didn't read. This is what Jesus read when he opened the book. He found the place where it was written. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he finished off in verse 21 by saying, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And I want to suggest that to each of you that are listening to me, that same scripture is true of you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent you to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is true for everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. Never forget it. He has a call and a purpose on your life. And allow him to speak into your life and minister to you. But that may be in the place where you live. It may be in your hometown, and it still is the truth for you. Or it may be to take that word somewhere else, where you're not known, but where you can be effective for the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus didn't always get it easy. And at times we can feel disheartened in ourselves that we're being attacked by others, that they don't understand, that they won't listen to us. But we can take heart in knowing that Jesus wasn't accepted by everyone. And in particular, he wasn't accepted by those who knew him the best, the people he grew up with. But the word that he spoke from the prophet Isaiah was true for him. And I believe, Lord God, it's true for us too. It's true for me. That whether I speak it at home or wherever I go, I have a message, and the message is the message that you have given me, which is to preach the gospel, which is to heal the brokenhearted, which is to bring liberty and recovery of sight to the blind, which there is a message that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is alive today. And so help us, Lord God, to be faithful in the calling that you have put before us, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.